Hey there, welcome back. Are you ready for a conscious relationship? And how would you know if you were? Well, if you're interested in getting the definitive answer to that question, then I've put together something very special for you. I've been working with my team behind the scenes to put together a conscious relationship readiness quiz, where in just a few short minutes of your time, you can go through a series of insightful questions and get the real answer to whether you are ready, almost ready, or not quite ready yet. After you take the quiz, I'm going to send you some personalized information, letting you know exactly why you got the result you got, plus some important next steps you can take to move towards the conscious love that I know you so deeply want to create in your life. The quiz is absolutely free, and after you take it, I'm going to send you some awesome personalized resources. So what are you waiting for? Go to the description below wherever you're listening to this podcast right now and click the link to take your conscious relationship readiness quiz, and I will see you there. Can't wait to see what your results are. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Conscious Love Show. Whether you are single, you are in a relationship, or you're healing a broken heart, this show is here to inspire you, to remind you how beautiful, lovable, and amazing you truly are, and to give you the practical tools and insights to navigate from wherever you are right now to the loving relationship that you so deeply want to have. My name is Shane Kohler. I'm a certified transformational coach and trainer with over a decade experience helping people release their trauma and open their hearts to love. I've delivered seminars all over the world, coached thousands of people through my online platforms and programs, and every week I'm coming straight to you with the hottest insights and the best teachers around, bringing you powerful resources and profound conversations to heal your relationship with love, dating, and yourself. I'm so grateful you're here, and if it's your first time, welcome. You can count on me to always show up for you with my very best and a commitment to learn and grow myself so I can serve you to my maximum ability. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. I've got some awesome things planned for you today. So without further ado, let's dive in. Okay, hello, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Shane Kohler here. Pleasure to be on with you today. And today I'm going to welcome some very special guests onto the show. We have joining us the incredible John and Rochelle Moyer. And they're joining us today to teach us about how we can use hypnosis and meditation to reprogram our subconscious mind and wire ourselves for conscious connection. So super excited to dive into this conversation. Welcome to the show, John and Rochelle. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
We appreciate it very much.
Maybe to start, you two could just share a little bit about like who you are, maybe just a little bit of your story, like how you came together, how meditation, hypnosis, and the like has supported you individually in your relationship. Just kind of give us a little background on where you come from and why you're here telling us about this today.
Yeah, Rochelle and I have been together for going on 11 years now, and it was very interesting because we had both been previously divorced, and you know, I had sworn marriage off. I'm like, it's not for me. I had two kids, and like, I'm done. And though at the same time, you know, I was kind of in a dark place for myself after my divorce. So I was kind of searching and looking for those things that were going to help change the experience that I was having of my life and the world around me. And then, you know, I realized that if anything out here was going to change, it was going to have to, you know, change inside with me. And I began doing self-hypnosis and meditation. And then as things for me kind of gradually started to align inward, then I wind up meeting Rochelle. We meet each other, and you were, Rochelle.
I had been on the same journey, going inward and just learning to love myself, reprogramming my mind for success, telling myself a new story. And it really is just that self-hypnosis, telling yourself, I can do this. I love myself. I'm enough. And I started to put things through the paradigm of, would I choose this for my children? Would I choose this guy for my children? Would I choose this job for my children? Would I choose these relationships for my children? And that was a huge eye-opener for me to realize whether or not I really loved myself. Because sometimes I would choose this for myself, but I certainly wouldn't choose it for my children. So it was a huge eye-opener to reprogram my mind to look for things that were actually love and that were kindness towards myself. And so shifting that way that I felt towards myself, it caused those negative relationships to just fall out of my space because I rejected those. I rejected the unkind comments towards me, or I rejected people that didn't want to spend time with me or didn't value me. And that was because I started to value myself. And it all started with just reprogramming my mind.
Yeah. And what was interesting too is, you know, the progress we had both made individually. And I think that there were some areas that, you know, each of us had a little bit more experience in or a little bit more, advanced in as far as what, you know, our personal journey, but then coming together, those two things being able to complement each other, me being able to learn from Rochelle being able to learn from me, and the two of us discovering things together is what really, and that's when things accelerated. And, you know, from there, it was quite interesting because as all of this stuff changed within us, and then as the relationship of ours developed, I began pursuing hypnosis professionally. Now, it was a little bit different than what I do on YouTube because I was a stand-up comedian for over 20 years of my life. Oh, and cool. it really was. The thing about it, though, I was kind of an angry comedian. And my philosophy was, you know, the more drama that was going on, then the more I had to be able to make fun of on stage. So I kind of looked for that personal drama and conflict in my life. So I had something to rant about on stage. Well, as my life got cleaned up, then I realized I didn't really have anything to rant about, make fun about. So I wind up going from stand-up comedy to stage hypnosis because it was still performance-based and it was still funny. And I was, you know, I was like, I just have to learn how to hypnotize people now. But when I started doing that, that accelerated. I got to perform for Royal Caribbean Cruise Line around the world and doing a lot of high-end corporate events. But from what I was doing there on stage, we began putting together these hypnosis audio programs that we could offer people, you know, after the show, because people saw the power of the mind and they wanted to be able to tap into that for themselves. So, you know, we had stop smoking and weight loss and the standard list of things that would be offered. But then I began putting stuff on YouTube thinking, you know, maybe people would see me there or hear or experience the programs and they'd be interested in go, buying it from my website. It never occurred to me that people were using YouTube as a primary platform to do hypnosis and to do meditation. And then from there, it just took off.
That's very cool. That's very cool. So you, as I was listening to your story, I was going to ask, like, well, you know, of all the things to like try to heal yourself, what led you to hypnosis? But then you answer my question is, well, you were doing that, right? You were on Caribbean cruise lines and stuff, you know, delivering this. So I think, and you mentioned like doing the kind of stage hypnosis, and I think a lot of us who aren't necessarily super exposed to what hypnosis is, when we hear it, we think about that. It's like, okay, you know, you're going to walk around and cluck like a chicken or something like that, right? So can you bridge the gap for us? Like, what is the difference between maybe that kind of hypnosis that we've seen on television or whatever, and, you know, how you can actually use it to program yourself to attract love or to lose weight or to quit smoking? Or like, can you bridge that gap for us?
Well, we're only ever being sustained in who we are as a person. Mm-hmm. So when we attract somebody into our lives, we are being sustained in what we believe about ourselves. And so John sustains me in loving myself. He holds me in my brilliance. And that's because I have shifted my mindset into loving myself and only allowing people that will sustain me in loving myself. And so that is why that is important. First of all, you've got to be good with yourself. You've got to have the mindset that would reject anything that doesn't sustain you in loving yourself and being kind to yourself. So it always begins with ourselves. When it comes to hypnosis, reprogramming the mind and putting in thought processes that I love myself, I care about myself, I'm the most important person in my life. Anything that is programmed in there will be rejected once you put these new thought processes in, because now you'll notice, oh, look at me not loving myself. Look at me talking crap to myself. And then we have the ability to get back onto the new program and choose the new thought processes again until they become permanent. And practice becomes permanent. Practice doesn't make perfect, it makes permanent. So you just got to make it permanent by reiterating it to yourself over and over.
And, you know, the thing is too, that essentially the same principles are happening, you know, whether you're on stage performing, I never made anybody cluck like a chicken, but you know, we did a lot of silly and goofy and fun stuff. But the same principles that we're experiencing there are the same principles that somebody would experience, whether they're in a, you know, a one-on-one hypnosis session with a therapist, or whether they are, you know, just listening to something, you know, themselves at home. So basically what's happening is you've got the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And between the two of those, there's something called the critical faculty. It's basically like a firewall, or I refer to it as, you know, like the bouncer at the nightclub with a red velvet gold or the red velvet rope who determines who gets in and who doesn't get in. Mm-hmm. So that we have that, essentially we have a bouncer in our mind with that red velvet rope. And when a new idea comes in, the subconscious mind is really resistant to change, man. It doesn't want change. So it winds up blocking out that. But what you do with hypnosis is you're kind of distracting the critical faculty or the bouncer with a red velvet rope. And then you're sneaking those new thought patterns, those new ideas into the subconscious mind. And once they're in there, they can become part of it. Then all of a sudden, whether it's just for a few minutes on stage, doing something fun or unusual or out of character, or whether it's completely, you know, implementing an entirely new thought pattern or behavioral process, it becomes one with you. Because the thing about the subconscious mind is it can't tell the difference between what's real and what's not. So whatever it's in there, it's accepting as real. So if somebody's on stage and they're hypnotized and, you know, they're told cluck like a chicken, the mind will believe that, you know, that's what they're supposed to do. It's like a dream. No matter how strange a dream is, when it's happening for us, we accept it as, you know, accept it as real. So if you're telling the subconscious mind, we're somebody who loves ourselves, we're somebody who is kind and respectful of ourselves, then the subconscious mind is going to start behaving that way. And you're going to start to develop those thought patterns and those behaviors. And then you wind up becoming more aligned with the kind of individual that you would prefer to be with in a relationship. And it shows up that way.
Also, scientifically, we're in beta brain waves right now. We're communicating, we're learning from each other. Everybody watching this is in a beta brainwave state. And when you shift into hypnosis, you shut down that beta brainwave and you shift into alpha brainwave. And that alpha brainwave is where that critical factor shuts down, or the velvet rope pulls away, and you're able to imprint new thought processes. So once you put yourself into that alpha brain state, and you're in that receptivity of a new thought. That's kind of where we are between the ages of 0 and 8 years old. We're in that, just everything is true that we're told. So that's what happens to our minds when we get into hypnosis, is we're able to actually accept the new thought processes.
Would you like to improve your meditation and hypnosis skills? If so, I want to share with you an app that I am absolutely falling in love with. It's called the Aura app, and truthfully, I have never seen so many mental health resources all available in one single place. You get access to meditations, hypnosis, breath work, sound healing, energy healing. Plus, you get access to coaches and therapists from all over the world. And you even get access to courses and programs ranging on everything from managing anxiety to navigating relationships. This is one of the best mental health apps I have ever found. I use it for myself. I use it for my students in my program. It is one of the most incredible tools, and I want to share it with you. The best news is, right now, you can try it completely free. So if you look in the description below wherever you're listening to this podcast, you will find a link to activate your free trial for the Aura app. In addition to that, you'll also receive a 25% discount on whatever membership option you do choose to activate. They're all pretty reasonable to begin with, but you'll get an additional 25% off by going through my link in the description. So what are you waiting for? Get moving, improving your meditation, hypnosis, and overall personal wellness. The Aura app is going to be an amazing tool in helping you do that, and you can get started absolutely free right now in the link below wherever you're listening to this podcast. So go check it out, and thanks for being here.
That's so interesting what you're both saying. And so I want to step back to something that you've both said many times, and I want to just kind of dive into it because I think it's important. Is this idea that, you know, if I have the belief in my mind that I'm worthy of love and respect and consideration and, you know, all of that, then I'm going to expect that from outside. And, you know, if I don't have that, then I won't. Right. And so hypnosis is really about kind of imprinting these beliefs or these ideas about ourselves that are in alignment with the life we want to have. I feel like there's a lot of people out there that would be like, well, if I just want to respect myself, I can just respect myself. Or if I just want to love myself, I can just love myself. So what does hypnosis offer aside from just choosing to love yourself more or respect yourself more?
Well, it's an interesting thing because somebody could consciously say that, you know, or maybe that is something that they do have you know, dialed in for themselves. The thing is I always tell people that, you know, how many times have we read a book or we've been to a seminar, we've heard something, we go, yes, that makes sense. Consciously or loving myself makes a lot of sense. I'm going to start doing it. And, you know, a few days goes by, a week goes by, whatever it is, and they're back to the same old patterns of behavior. That's because consciously something makes sense to us and we say that we're going to do it. Subconsciously, what is happening is the subconscious mind goes, yes, that makes sense. It makes sense for everybody else, but not for us because, you know, we're not smart enough. We're not good enough. We're not worthy enough. Things work out for everybody else, but never us. So we may consciously say we're going to do something, but the subconscious mind might have a completely different opinion of all of that. And there are things happening in there that we don't even know about. So that's why if you want to make that change, you do it from a subconscious level. You know, we've worked with people all the time who have sabotaged relationships. They say, well, this is what we want and this is how it's going to be. And when I meet this person and it's going to go like this and this, and they've got it all worked out, but then they wind up sabotaging it because there's stuff operating on a subconscious level that they don't even realize is going on, which causes them to jeopardize the relationship or push away other people.
And so to some of those people, and I just want to, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I just want to clarify, and you can correct me or agree or disagree on this. But for some of those people that might say, like, I just want to love myself more, like, the answer would be like, you actually can't, as long as those subconscious programs are running in the way that they're running. Would you agree with that statement?
You can or can't.
You can't. So
yeah,
like,
they're counterproductive. They're working against each other. So either you have the program of loving yourself and caring about yourself and moving forward and accepting to be sustained in that, or you're sabotaging it by allowing the, you know, the girlfriend or the boyfriend to put you down, talk crap to you, tell you in some way that you're not enough. Anytime we accept those programs, somebody that doesn't love us unconditionally, it's because we don't love ourselves unconditionally. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty impossible.
And, you know, that's not to say that every single person out there has got some type of subconscious conditioning going on that's preventing them to be able to have a, you know, a successful relationship. But obviously the people that, you know, Rochelle does all of the one-on-one sessions. I do all of the kind of the big stuff that we put out there on the internet. But the individuals that have come to see Rochelle for these types of things, those are the repetitious patterns that are happening within their mind.
Well, right, so right. How I gauged that is I use the map of consciousness by David Hawkins. So he talks about how if we live at the vibration of love, the energy is, and our energy just doesn't lie. We draw in everything to sustain us in that love. And if we drop down into that vibration of neediness, whereas I need the other person to be a certain way so that I can feel good about myself, that's actually a lower vibration than hate. And you'll actually see this in society. We are taught that everything needs to be a certain way so that we can be happy. And that's completely counterproductive to a life of freedom and love and joy. And so shifting out of that vibrational frequency of neediness, needing anything outside of us, anytime I need John to be a certain way or need him to not be something or do something, I have to take a look at myself. That's my neediness. That has nothing to do with John. And so shifting out of the thought processes of anything where I need anything outside of me to be a certain way so that I can feel peace and love and joy. So it's a huge dichotomy there with the love and the neediness. And so shifting towards that love and that unconditional way of being and allowing everybody their experience and allowing John to be exactly who he is, perfectly how he is. And yes, there's things that he sometimes does that I go, oh, that kind of bugs me. But I realize that that's me. It has nothing to do with him. And for me to come out and say, oh, you need to change that so I'm not bothered, is actually not love. It's neediness. So shifting our thought processes around the vibration of it, how low vibrational neediness is, and then how high vibrational love is, will actually will be sustained in those things.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm very familiar with the map of consciousness that you're talking about. I use it in my program as well. I think it's one of the most brilliant things I've ever seen. But so what you're saying is that, and I also teach this as well, is that, you know, when we're operating at that vibration of love, we call in and attract all things that sustain us in love. So that would be that loving unconditional relationship, that would be that, you know, supportive partner, or that person who gets us and understands us and respects us and appreciates us, right? And at that vibration of neediness, you're also going to, in the same way, attract all the things that would sustain that neediness, right? Yeah. So you're going to attract the kinds of relationships that in which that level of relational operating is appropriate. Right? For whatever that means. And I think that can look a lot of different ways, but whatever way it looks, it usually doesn't make us happy. Right. Mm-hmm. And what you're really getting at here is that this hypnosis that we're talking about is a way to really shift your vibrational state from one of neediness to one of love. And I mean, I think so much of my work is really about doing that exact thing, right? Or helping people do that exact thing. Because you can't really be happy in a relationship until you make that transition. And one of the biggest, I think, challenges I see people confronting is this feeling of like, I actually can't be happy without that relationship, or insert X into the blank there. Right. But there's this really deep seated belief that's very old and, you know, has been kind of woven throughout our lives, that like the idea that I even could be happy without that person or without whatever that thing that I'm craving is, it seems like such an impossibility. And you're saying this is actually not just an avenue to attract the kind of relationship you want to have, but actually an avenue to find your own peace and happiness with or without that relationship. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think the interesting thing is that when we come to peace with ourselves, you know, it's like how many over the years, I mean, this is an old saying that, you know, love shows up when you least expect it, or when you're not looking for a relationship, you know, that's when it shows up. And I believe that is because, you know, whether you look at it just from the mind or whether you're looking at it as an energy state, when we're aligning and we're at peace with us and we feel whole with ourselves, then that's when more things show up to sustain us and feeling whole with ourselves. But if we're going, man, you know, I know it's just me, I'm okay with that, but there's an emptiness here, there's a yearning here, there's a longing here. Well, then you're going to continue to perpetuate that state versus going, I'm whole, perfect, complete, I'm feeling great, and I'm grateful for everything that is. Well, then that's when more things start showing up to sustain us in all of those thought patterns that we're having, and including relationships.
And I think too, it's back to that neediness. I need this relationship so that I can feel whole, so I can be complete. So what happens is that you're taking a person that's coming in their incompleteness, and they're looking for somebody to complete them. And so they meet somebody else who is also incomplete, and they think each other is going to, you know, complete them. And for a while that, you know, those butterflies, the pain body is activated because each other has that neuropeptide chemical that's going to be fed from this relationship. And it feels exciting and fun in the beginning, but then you start to notice that everything that you need about the other person to be different. And so that neediness actually ends up sucking the life out of each other. But if you come within your wholeness and you're a whole, complete person where you don't need another person, I'm perfect, whole, and complete. I'm perfect just the way I am. I love and approve of myself. I accept myself completely. I've got me, and that is enough. And these are some of the thought processes that in the beginning I had to tell myself, you know, leaving relationships that no longer served me. And when I became whole, those relationships that needed something from me, I wasn't attracted to those. I was attracted to somebody who was also in his wholeness, wasn't looking for somebody to complete them, wasn't even looking for a relationship. And that was where we both were. Neither one of us was looking for anything. So when we met each other, it was just an amazing conversation. And I remember walking away from our first conversation going, oh man, I really like that guy. He is a really cool dude. He's brilliant. And I wasn't thinking, oh, this is going to be my next guy, my next boyfriend. There was none of that.
But she did say, why is my phone number not in your phone? Take my number.
I sure did. So, it was an amazing conversation that became a deep friendship. And then it went on from there. And it was because we came to each other in our wholeness, and we promised to sustain each other in our wholeness. So that's the difference between coming in, you know, not feeling complete and needing the other person to complete you, and needing a relationship outside of you so that you feel complete, or getting in your wholeness and loving yourself and having a great relationship with yourself. And then when that person shows up to sustain you in that, then it feels like true love.
Yeah.
It's a difference.
Yeah, that's really, really beautiful. And maybe you could share a little bit, or maybe both of you, from your own experience, like, what was the process like? You know, you mentioned like coming out of that destructive relationship or whatever that was for you, and feeling that emptiness and feeling like, oh, how could I ever be complete again? Or how could I ever feel whole again? And then the process of like starting there and moving into a place of really feeling whole within yourself without just meeting another person, right? Like, what did that process look like? And I guess by extension, like, how can other people use the same process for themselves? Yeah. When my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer, we started making a lot of changes to our lifestyle. And one of the most important changes we made was cutting out coffee. We didn't realize it at the time, but even one cup of coffee a day can flood your body with stress hormones and keep you in a consistent state of fight or flight, which we now know is not only a very uncomfortable way to live, but is also a ripe condition for disease to occur. Some of the best coffee substitutes we found were matcha green tea and adaptogenic mushrooms. And these are so amazing because they can offer many of the same benefits that coffee offers, while also helping to regulate your nervous system and adding incredible health benefits. And if you would like to try this for yourself, we've teamed up with this incredible conscious ethical company called Rise. And by using the code SHANEK15, you can save 15% on your entire order. So go ahead, check it out. I know you're going to love it. It's going to taste great. It's going to make you feel even better. And I can't wait to see what you think of it. So check it out in the description below wherever you're listening to this episode, and lots of love.
Well, for me, it was a rude awakening. I had been in a long-term relationship with somebody that ended up meeting somebody else. We were engaged. And so that kind of ended just to understand how deep the pain was for me. It was painful. I laid in bed for 3 months and I didn't want to be here anymore. I was just done. I couldn't, what's the point to life? I was so sad and so distraught about it. And then I realized, you know, I, of course, there's all the language that you tell yourself, oh, I should have done this. I could have said that. I wish I would. I just had this epiphany that there was nothing I could have done to make him happy. I was just being sustained in what I believed about myself. And so I had spent so much of my life talking garbage to myself and putting myself down. I thought, you know, I might as well try talking kind to myself, rewriting these stories in my head. And so I would get into a meditative state and close my eyes. And I listened to some meditations that, you know, told me I was wonderful and that I could do this. And it wasn't until I actually visualized what it felt like to be in a healthy relationship, to be talked to with a healthy relationship, that I kind of got that feeling for myself, what it felt like to be treated with kindness and respect and not needing me to be a different personality than what I was capable of being, that I was acceptable exactly the way I am. And for me to start to really believe that about myself, that I'm a good person and I have a lot to offer, and just love who I am exactly the way that I am. And as I started to just talk kind to myself and catch myself anytime that I was playing out some story from the past, because the past is over, it's not here anymore. And especially if I'm shifting those thought processes and getting into that meditative state and rewriting my story for myself and feeling what it feels like to be appreciated and being treated kindly, then it really just shifted. I was able to accept the new program that I'm a good person and that I'm perfect the way that I am, and that my loving heart and what I have to give is enough. It's enough for me, and it's enough to build a relationship with.
And the other thing I tell people is the hardest, easiest thing you can ever do the hardest, easiest thing you can ever do is change your mind. It's hard because people can't believe that it's so easy. So even if you're just taking a small concept, you know, your plan for yourself or your life or relationships doesn't have to look like some complicated schematic, you know, of a spaceship or whatever the case may be. You just start with something simple and you begin to implement that into your mind. And then it just compounds and grows and grows and grows. So
for me, that first, I took it out of the Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life book. And that first affirmation really was, I love and approve of myself. I'm perfect just the way I am. And we have weaved this in and out some of the hypnosis programs on YouTube about loving and approving of yourself and really knowing what that means. And even if it's just reiterating that to yourself over and over, that is actually a form of hypnosis. You're not in that beta brain state. You're telling yourself a new thought process. You're hypnotizing yourself into, I love and approve of myself. And in that present moment, when you witness yourself, you know, doing and saying things to yourself that is not love, you catch yourself, oh, whoa, this is clearly me not loving and approving. This is me hanging out with people that put me down and don't appreciate me or make fun of me. That was a huge one for me. I hung out with people that were not kind to me. And I thought that I could make them like me by being entertaining and fun. And I just realized, like, they don't like me because I don't like myself and I'm pretending to be somebody that I'm not. I'm putting off this vibration of inauthenticity. And so I had to reel that in and clean that up and become a real person, become the real person that I am. And when I did become the real person that I am and let go of all the people that don't like me, I don't know why they don't like me. I have no idea and I can't control that. And that's okay. And really get a healthy love for myself and be kind to myself and talk kind to myself and only accept the things in that sustain me in loving myself. Then I was able to actually meet John and be sustained in that by another person and somebody that I feel like I can sustain them in because he's so dang wonderful. You know, I mean, he's never said one unkind thing to me. So,
that's beautiful.
You know, in the 11 years that we've been together, and I know that that seems hard to believe, but I mean, especially given my other relationships, but there's something within me that will not accept an unkind word to me. So he just doesn't do it.
Yeah. So. That's so amazing.
Well, you know, that. And it's not like, you know, it's not like there's moments, you know, there's never moments when I'm like, oh, I could say this really unkind thing to Rochelle, but I won't because I know she doesn't like unkind things. It doesn't even occur to me mm-hmm. because, you yep. know, our relationship and being together, I know what it's like to say unkind things to people because, you know, I was a comedian for a very long time and wanting to get a reaction or trying to, you know, utilize my ego to be able to, you know, get things accomplished or have somebody else get on the same page or something with me. But, you know, all I ever see and all I ever feel and experience is kindness with Rochelle because that's the exact same, that's the energy that she resonates. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a perfect example of everything you've been talking about where, you know, if there are no unkind thoughts inside, then they're not going to be reflected outside. Right. It's just, yeah. It's to your point, John, it's like to believe that it's really that simple or, you know, it's the hardest, easiest thing you'll ever do is like the hardest thing is to believe it could be that simple. And then once you believe it, it becomes quite easy. But I want to circle back to something you said, Rochelle, because you talked about how it didn't really, I don't know if you said it didn't click or it didn't sink in until you like experienced what it felt like to be in a loving relationship. And I think that's such an important point because especially when we work with affirmations and things like that, I know like a lot of people will try a lot of different affirmations. And when you're affirming something to yourself that you really don't believe, it almost becomes like reinforcing the negative belief, right? Yeah. Like just every time you tell yourself that affirmation, it just reminds you how much you don't believe it. So it sounds like you were able to create some kind of opening. And I know this is kind of what you were saying earlier, where when, you know, with hypnosis, you kind of remove that bouncer at the door, right? Where that idea can get in, where normally it would be turned away. So how did you create that opening to really let it sink in where you could feel it? Like, is there something specific or just what was that like for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Thank you, Em. Well, for me, I did get into that meditative state. I quieted the mind. I shut down the critic inside of me. And I got into the feeling place in my heart and really felt that love mm-hmm. dropping into the heart, expanding the heart with the breath and really feeling that energy right there in the heart and going, oh, when I'm in this space of love, the mind just shuts down. The ego shuts down and I can actually get into this space of feeling. And then I was able to turn on the imagination, feeling what it feels like to be sustained in being loved, just feeling what it feels like to have friends that treat me with kindness and respect, having a job that I feel excited to go do, all these things. So I used the power of my imagination, and that is a form of hypnosis, right? We're using the creative mind. And just balancing those two things together, opening the heart, deep breaths into the heart. And I think this is something that is really imperative that we get to do is know that we have this power to expand the breath and breathe into our heart and really feel that energy that our heart is emitting. because that's the power. And when we're in that and we're feeling that and we're sitting in that and we're not up in our ego mind going, oh, this needs to be a certain way, or we're judging this, or we're telling ourselves that people are judging us, or what have you, that actually shifts the energy into the heart. And when we start to live from the heart, then we start to be kinder to ourselves. We start to just reject things that don't matter. And it's not, we don't even have to be unkind about people or places or things. I shifted my mindset around the outside world to, you know, I allow them their experience. I allow everybody their journey.
And, you know, relative to that point too, early on, I started listening to, it was a self-hypnosis or guided meditation, and it was for an area that I was looking to improve in my own thought patterns and my own behaviors. And it was just about assertiveness, being able to speak my voice. So I started listening to this program, and, you know, a few days, I'm not noticing any difference. You know, a week, I'm not noticing any difference. A couple weeks, still not noticing any difference. And then I think it may have been about 3 weeks of listening to this program every single day. There was a situation that came up that in that moment, all of a sudden, I was thinking differently and I was feeling differently. And I was able to express my voice. And it was that moment where I was like, oh my gosh, what I've been putting into my head for the last 3 weeks every day has actually taken root. And so when you're utilizing, whether it's meditation or hypnosis, they're sister states of mind, but you're looking to have an improvement, it's like going to the gym. It's like working out a muscle. You go into the gym, you're not going to, you know, bench press 400 pounds or whatever right away, but you can build that muscle up. And it's the same thing with the mind. It's, you are building that muscle up. And that's what I realized, that even though I consciously wasn't seeing a difference, eventually after about 3 weeks, 21 days to, you know, make a habit, there was the difference in my subconscious mind had been reprogrammed.
Yeah. That's a good point. It does take time. You can't just do it one time and think you're done. You repeatedly do it and you do the work, you do the inner work. You feel breath work. You feel the love in your heart. You shift your mindset. You stay consistent and remind yourself all the good things that you prefer to be.
And I mean, it's not a one size fits all. Some people, you know, if you're working with somebody like on a one-on-one session, or even if it's somebody's doing their own type of, you know, hypnosis session, people can see results right away. They may see results after a few days, but those results do happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they may even need a tune-up. They've like, I dialed this in, and then, you know, it's a few months down the road and all of a sudden they find themselves drifting back. Well, you just tune it up and go back and experience that program or whatever that was that you were participating in to make that difference happen.
I think it's so powerful what you both are saying, and it's really like a kind of a superpower. Like I really believe this is how we manifest. And you mentioned like the brain waves earlier. And I know we all kind of live in like that high beta brain wave, which is like anxiety state, you know, trying to control circumstances, bracing ourselves against disappointments, and, you know, kind of in fear and control and survival. And, you know, most of us are in that state the majority of the time. And we can't really manifest from that state, right? Like there's nothing creative happening from that state. It's more of just like a playing out old programs or old cycles and repeating those patterns as long as we remain in that state. And so, you know, what you're talking about with the breath and getting into the heart and, you know, the consistency of doing that over time and continuing to feel differently and think differently, it creates a different way of thinking and feeling in the world overall, that then reshapes how you relate with life, relationships,
yeah,
what you're about to accept, what you're not, et cetera.
Well, absolutely. You know, the conscious mind, and I've heard it put in terms of computer bits, the conscious mind processes is about 7 to 10 bits of information per second. The subconscious mind, it's somewhere around 20 million bits of information per second. So there's a lot more happening subconsciously than consciously. And, you know, you use the word of, you know, like manifest. So it's like, if we're feeling an energy, if we're resonating an energy, that energy is going to be happening in the background in the subconscious mind without us even knowing it. That's why it's so important to change those thought patterns, because when you don't even realize it, you are resonating, you know, that energy that's going to call forth whatever that programming is that's, you know, running you in your subconscious mind.
And it's kind of like the whole tip of the iceberg thing, right? You have the,
the
iceberg, you know, poking out of the water, but then there's this giant mass that's hidden from sight. And this mass is what determines your vibration or your energetic state, or however you want to refer to that. I want to ask you this, because I'm interested to see what you think about it. There's, you know, that little tip of the iceberg poking out of the water. You might go through highs and lows, right? You might, you know, feel very good one moment, feel very bad the next moment. Would you say that iceberg that's under the water, the part that you don't see, is that more consistent in terms of the energy or the vibration that it carries?
Yeah, that's, well, it's the...
Well, you know, what I'd say to that is whatever that programming is there, is, because it could create highs, it could create lows. You know, you have a certain experience and the subconscious mind says, oh, this is what this means. This experience is wonderful. You're going to feel good. You may have another experience and the subconscious mind says, this means terrible. This is something awful. We don't like this, you know, experience. So just depending on what your programming is, what's going into that iceberg, you know, below the surface of the water, is going to determine how you feel. And it's fascinating to me that, you know, you could take two people that could have the exact same experience, but whatever their programming is, one of them, their mind's going to say, this is a terrible, evil thing. This is wrong, or this is bad, or this is unhappy or sad or whatever. And, you know, somebody else might see something as a wonderful experience. So it's just, it's getting that consistency that you refer to as, you know, you're just consciously programming your subconscious mind to be able to adapt, to be able to go, okay, this is coming up. All right. But we're going to be able to remain neutral. And that's one of the,
and that's the key right there.
That's the
key. Becoming neutral to things, because when we have this iceberg that's buried below us, that's running us, one of the best ways to shift that and to actually take control of it is to neutralize it. So getting out of the duality of things, getting out of having to have an opinion or a reaction to every little thing. And you'll see that we're taught in our society to have this reaction, this belief, or this comment to every little thing, have an opinion. And if we can just dial ourselves back and remain neutral, and that doesn't mean that we just allow things to happen that aren't good, but we shift out of having to exert our energy into things that just really don't, we have absolutely no control over. So that neutralizing is actually the step between the lower vibrational frequencies. You'll see in the map of consciousness where you've got the lower vibration, and then you've got neutrality, and then you've got the higher vibration. Well, once I shift we clean up these lower vibrations, we shift out of the neediness, the shame, the guilt, the sadness, the fear. And then we shift into that willingness to change, willingness to do things different. And then the neutrality. And the neutrality is, I allow whatever is happening to just be what it is. I allow it to unfold and let go of trying to control and having an opinion and having a visceral reaction to everything that's showing up. And I maintain my energy and put it and direct it towards what it is that I prefer, what it is I do have control over, what it is that I can shift and change. And then we are taking care of our energy instead of fractioning it all out all over the place into everybody else's business and every other situation. And so neutralizing really is the key to cleaning up what's buried below the surface. And that's something that I love, because once people can get to that neutral state of being where they just are allowing people their opinions, I allow my mother-in-law to come in and rearrange my cabinets. I allow, you know, you just allow things instead of needing things to be different. You stay at peace, and that's where your power is. And once you shift into that, then you see those higher vibrational frequencies, love, joy, peace. Well, you don't need to practice joy. You don't have to practice love or be, these are just your natural states of being. We just clean up those lower vibrations. We neutralize them. And then we take that bridge of neutrality into those higher vibrational frequencies where we enjoy this beautiful state of being that is peace and bliss and joy. And yes, we do, you know, things show up in our radar, you know, parents get sick or friends die, that we do feel sadness, but it does come from a beautiful state within the heart, as opposed to feeling like we've had the rug pulled out from underneath of us. And so it shifts life completely to neutralize. So
if, you know, because sometimes I might, if somebody's in a bad place, they're going, oh, I should feel good. There's no way I can feel good. If you can't feel positive, at least start to work to neutralize the negative and get to that state of neutrality.
Yeah. Well, and the reason why I asked the question is because I think so many people are chasing like that next good feeling. And even in, like, you read a lot of the literature on meditation or law of attraction, like they say, it's all about feeling good. You got to feel good. And I think I understand what they mean when they say that, but I think a lot of people misunderstand what they mean when they say that, right? And so there's this kind of surface level feeling good where I love what you said, John, where based on the underlying context, right? If the context says this is a good thing, then I'm going to feel good. If the context says this is a bad thing, then I'm going to feel bad. And so within that kind of limited context, we're running around trying to feel good, but we're not really getting anywhere because we're still within the same old vibrational reality.
Yeah.
Right. There's really nowhere to go there. And so there's a way of not chasing the surface good feelings that are temporary and just kind of come and go. And, you know, the good feeling is followed by a bad one. And, you know, then we're always trying to get back something we feel like we lost. Right. But there's a way of dropping deeper, shifting the underlying context into one that is overall more wholesome or more holistic, from which more good feelings will naturally come.
Yeah.
But again, it's not about chasing that immediate good feeling or surface level gratification. It's about shifting more your relationship with life as a whole. Yeah. And then I heard what you said is that neutrality is kind of the way to get there, right? Where it's like, okay, so if I'm in my kind of pleasure pain dynamic, where I'm, you know, chasing pleasure, avoiding pain, kind of tiptoeing around my life, trying to control everything, trying to, you know, avoid all the pitfalls. And that's my experience of life. First thing I have to do is like neutralize that whole thing, where it's like, okay, the pleasure's not so great. The pain's not so awful. It's just like, it's all okay. Like I can just kind of be with it. Yeah. And that allows me to drop into that deeper place where I can then not be chasing those little gratifications so much and more evolve my overall context as a being. Am I hearing that correctly?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, I always used to ponder and wonder, you know, what did it mean to live in the moment? Right. It took me a while to kind of figure out that, you know, because the mind works on the patterns that we're familiar with. So the mind goes, we've experienced these things in the past, and this is what this means, and this is how we feel. Or the mind is always searching to create meaning out of, you know, well, if this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and we're going to feel this way. When we're able to redirect ourselves into that present moment and just live in that present moment and go, this is what's going on, and we're grateful for this experience. Living in the present moment can do several things. It distracts the mind from trying to go down those roads of all these terrible things are going to happen, or I should be upset about this or angry about this. When you redirect yourself back and go, man, I can be really grateful for this cup of coffee that I have, or I can be grateful for any number of things, because there's always something that we can feel grateful for, big or small. And it's shifting, it's training the mind now to stop looking for the negative, to stop, you know, rehashing the negative. And it's training the mind to be in this moment and seeing what's working for us. And realizing what's working for us can create emotions of gratitude and sustain us in gratitude, and then resonates that energy out so more things continue to show up to sustain us in that gratitude. So it's a small little thing just like that that helps to be able to recondition the mind.
Yeah. So I want to work with what you just said and take like a really, really real life example. And let's just say, I'll say a lot of our audience is women. So we'll just say it's a woman, could be a man, but we'll just say it's a woman. And maybe she's out there dating and maybe she's been single for a while or kind of in and out of relationships and none of them are really that great and feels like she's hitting a wall no matter what she does and maybe being mistreated by certain people and not that she's letting people walk all over her, like she's holding up her standards and, you know, she's like, I'm not going to accept that, but it's still happening anyway. Right. And she's like finding herself in the weeds with all of this. And she's feeling very hopeless. And like, is this ever going to happen? Am I wasting my time? Am I running out of time? Am I going to have a family? Right. All this stuff is going on for her. And then she maybe goes out on another date with someone she was really excited about. It was a great date, thought it was going to go somewhere. And then the person just straight up ghosts her. And now she's sitting at home by herself, letting the reality dawn on her that she's never going to hear from this person again. How would you support that person in that situation?
Well, the biggest concern is that there's this expectation that it's got to look a certain way, or it's got to feel a certain way, it's got to be a certain way. And I'm telling you, it's not like that. Once I found something real with John, that the giddiness, the butterflies, all that, it wasn't like that. It was deeper. It was like the day I held my newborn baby in my arms and I just felt that deep, sustained love that could never, there was no giddiness or butterflies looking at my baby, right? It was different. It was deeper. It was meaningful. And so I had to find that within myself first. I had to love myself with some deep reverence. Almost like I was finding that I am one with my creator, right? I am enough. I'm everything. I am the number one person. The person that I'm looking for is me. I am the love of my life. And when we go out and we look for that or expect that or think that it's going to feel like that or it's going to be exciting, and I know what it's like to date person after person and have that giddiness and have that fun. And then it just falls apart. And it's because I wasn't in my wholeness. I wasn't complete with who I was. I needed something from somebody else to feel complete. I needed a boyfriend to feel like I was somebody. I needed to have a relationship to feel like life was good and fun. And it was taking a step back from that and just completely letting that go. And it was about a year after my breakup that I just let go. I just chose into me and just really learning to love me, learning to love my essence, learning to know who I am as a person and what I have to offer to me as a person, not what I have to offer to the world, but that my inner voice is stronger and more important than anything that anybody on the outside can give me. And when, you know, I'd go out with somebody and it just, you know, I didn't ever feel like after, it was just interesting. After I had really gone on this journey of loving myself, I could pick and choose. I just wasn't going with what was happening. I wasn't going out with on the whim of the excitement because it just wasn't there anymore. I had deepened myself.
I want to ask you one thing on that note real quick, because you talked about letting go. And I just want to dig into that for a moment there. Cause there's like, when you talk about letting go, there's this sense that I think we've all kind of carried throughout our lives that, like, I'm in control of things. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and that's going to lead to this result. And when you talk about letting go, it's kind of like letting that go and trusting that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen some other way. Am I right about that?
You know, the paradox is that one deserves to come from a space where they are both open to something showing up a certain way, and at the same time, releasing or not caring and being willing to let go of that idea showing up a certain way. Mm-hmm. It is a paradox, but when you can come from that, and that is a space of neutrality. On the one hand, you're open to receiving all of this or having this be the case. On the other hand, you're also open to it not being the case. And when you come from that space, then it's just crazy. It's crazy how things show up and work out when you come from that space.
Well, and I think there's something in so many people, and I really believe this is like what the blockage is for a lot of people, because you said it could come from that space, and it also might not. And I think that's the part that people get stuck on is willing to truly like settle into and accept that it might not. So how do you support somebody with that?
Well, first of all, for me, I had to start looking at what part of me thinks that I deserve this. I started to own everything that was showing up in my life. Everybody that's showing up in my life is a reflection of me. Everybody is showing up to sustain me and what I believe about myself. And so when I started to pay attention to and not take it personal, like people will show up and say and do horrible things, and it's not about me. It's just information. And I would say, okay, well, what part of me believes that I deserve this? You know, there's an unhealed part of me, or there's a part of me that doesn't love myself. And I would start to own everything that showed up. It's all me. I mean, the bad news is it's all me, but the good news is it's all me. So I have the ability to change it the second that I need it to everybody else to be a certain way so that I can be happy and feel good and be, you know, feel complete. I've given all my power away. So dialing that all back into myself and going, it's all me. How do I show up this way? Sometimes people will show up and be a certain way and it'll rub me wrong. And I'll go, you know, how do I show up that way? What part of myself do I not like that is projecting that out onto that other person? And so we start to just clean up these little things within ourselves. And then sometimes we'll go, you know, wow, how do I show up that way? And sometimes I can't, nothing comes to me. But it's just owning it all. The more that we can own our results, the more we have the power to clean up the results. The second that we say it's other people have to be different so that I can be happy. Well, then we have no power, because now we're just going to sit around and wait for them to show up differently so we can be happy. And there is zero power in that. So if you want to take your power back, you have to go. You have to let go of all the expectations. You have to let go of needing things to be a certain way. You have to let go of people needing to say the right things or do the right things or trying to control everything. It's shifting into just being in a space of love and an acceptance and allowing everybody to be the way they are. And, you know, even people in past relationships that I had to clean up my thoughts around, you know, the way that they're choosing to live their lives, because you know what, that just feels like love to them. And I would remind myself that feels like love to them. They're choosing that because that feels like love to them. And I can honor that. And once I would let go of needing people to be a certain way, needing people to act and say and do things and believe the way I believe or be, you know, a certain political party or any of that nonsense, it's so taxing, and it just takes away from this richness of life, which is to just love each other and treat each other with kindness and respect and allow everybody their experience. And then guess what? We get to be sustained in that, because then people treat us with kindness and respect and sustain us in that richness of love that we are exerting and exuding.
I love it. That's beautiful. Maybe just one last thing to touch on here. I want to make sure we cover it today. So we've talked a lot about kind of hypnosis and how that works and being able to access the subconscious mind. How would you distinguish meditation from hypnosis, and what are the benefits to meditation distinct from hypnosis?
Well, first of all, they are sister states of mind. You know, basically the same thing that's happening within your brain is happening both in hypnosis and meditation. You're going down into, an alpha and theta brainwave state. The analogy that I kind of use is meditation is kind of like turning off the engine and giving it a break. And hypnosis is a bit like turning off the engine, giving it a break, an oil change and a tune-up. Maybe you're, you know, retrofitting it with some, you know, aftermarket, or fitting it with some aftermarket parts to, you know, to soup up the engine. So, you know, what's happening in the brain, what's happening in the body is exactly the same. Cortisol levels are being reduced. You're being filled with dopamine and endorphins. Your antioxidant levels are increasing and your mind is kind of quieting down. And at the same time, as the mind has been quieted down, you know, if it's hypnosis, then you're able to input, the new thought patterns. So that's really the difference. One might be, you know, you are just kind of sitting in silence, or whether it's music or whatever the case may be, you know, in the case of a meditation, where the other is, you may be having, in, you know, allowing new information to be put into the mind.
Yeah. So basically anytime somebody sits and meditates with some kind of suggestion or guidance, that's a form of hypnosis.
It is. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, some of the words are interchangeable. You know, I hear people, you know, they say guided meditation or guided hypnosis or hypnosis meditation.
I think the difference with hypnosis too, is that there is hypnotic language. So John and I use hypnotic language. There is a language that actually kind of tricks the subconscious mind into being quiet and thinking about something else while you're imprinting another thought process. So there is hypnotic language that does shift things a little differently than just a plain meditation or affirmations.
And, and people kind of have different connotations in their mind too. You know, you say somebody, oh, we're all going to do a group hypnosis session. Oh, I'm not participating in that. That's evil. Right. Yeah. Or, hey, we're all going to do a group guided meditation. Okay. That sounds great. I'll be there.
Yeah.
So there's connotations one way and the other. And of course, much of the negative connotations that people put out there about hypnosis, there are a lot of false negative connotations. There's a lot of misunderstanding about exactly what's going on and what's happening.
Yeah, it's not mind control.
Yeah.
You're not giving your mind over to us to, you know, imprint some, make you go rob a bank or something. It's just not even possible.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think these days most people have those kind of connotations. I mean, maybe they do.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, really? Is that a big deal out there?
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, we get comments.
I'm conjuring demons. And
oh, goodness.
So it's cute. You know, we just go bless their hearts. They don't.
But, you know, at the same time, we're also passionate about being able to educate people to say, look, this is what's happening. This is what's going on.
It's a natural state of your mind. Yeah.
Now, we don't have too much time for this, but I'm just a little bit curious about the hypnotic language. Is that similar to like NLP? Would it be that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just basically how something is, the subconscious mind is going to hear something very differently than how the conscious mind may hear something.
Okay.
So it's just crafting that language to be able to be received by the subconscious mind.
And I know today you've put together some gifts and things that we can share with the audience. Would they be able to experience some of that in the meditations you have for them?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the things that we talk about today are the themes that run across all of my, you know, all of my videos. And I know some of the videos that some links to the videos that I sent over to you, a couple of them, some of my biggest ones, overcoming heartbreak has been one of my,
the one with the best. Or it's a different one.
It's the original one. But based on the same concepts that that Rochelle shared. But those are all of the videos are accessible. There's playlists on my YouTube channel. And we most of the videos are with my voice. There's a few that we have done with Rochelle. There's one that we did both of ours together, and it's all categorized on the playlist. But the things that we've sent over that you guys can share are finding a soulmate, you know, and again, these are the principles that we talk about here today that we put out there, just simple everyday ideas that people can incorporate for themselves, the things that we talked about here, doing the things that we shared here, and being able to put that, that energy out there. And then there's a few videos as well, I believe, that I sent. It's just, you know, being able to do things to, align for yourself, to be able to be your best self, live your best life.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's amazing. Well, thank you both so much for being here. I do want to ask, I want to give you an opportunity in a moment to share where people can connect with you and all that kind of stuff. I always like to ask before we go there, is there anything that maybe we haven't touched on today or maybe we have, but any closing thoughts that either of you would like to share?
I think you've done a fine job.
Yeah.
It's been a great conversation. So yeah. Yeah. I think the things that we've shared here are the things that we're passionate about, and you know, you're able to kind of guide us on that journey here today.
Yeah. Great questions.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you both. Where can people connect with you if they want to learn more?
On YouTube, it's just John Moyer Hypnosis. And then our combined website is MoyerMindset.com. So it's MoyerMindset.com. And then they can find us there. And there's more information about me, information about Rochelle, information about us together, what we do. And whether it's just finding out more or even booking an online session with Rochelle, people can do that there.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, definitely check out John and Rochelle. They're amazing. They have a lot of incredible things to share, and I'm sure using their tools and working with them would be an amazing experience. So thank you both so much for being on today. It's really been a pleasure. I found it to be super insightful and just wonderful to be able to chat with both of you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. We appreciate it very much.
Pleasure. And thank you to the listeners. It's been wonderful being on with all of you today. And we will be right back here next Tuesday. So lots of love, everybody. Hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you back here next week. Take care. Bye. Thanks again for checking out the show. Please subscribe on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on the most. And I would love it so much if you leave a review and tell people what you think of us. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @TheLivingRelationship to connect more closely. And I'm grateful to be supporting you on your journey to love.